Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia territory of the Gidimdum clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en. Well, there we are. We're live again, and of course, it's been quite a wild week, especially in the Canadian political front, as D. Trump, the felon, wishes to annex Canada into the 51st state position. Very interesting times. Well, I would like now to introduce our special guest tonight, Medrick Poirier. Welcome to the show, Med.
Thank you, Tom, for having me on the show.
You betcha. So, Med, what I like to normally do when I'm running the show is I'm always curious as to how people got to the Valley. And so I kind of go along with that situation, that valley being the Bulkley Valley from Bulkley Lake down towards Rhodes Lake out the east end and right up to Anderson Flats there at Hazelton.
Yes.
So sometimes we get a person is born in the valley, and then a lot of us are immigrants to the valley,
yeah,
like myself.
I came here when I was 14 years old.
Yeah, so just tell me how you came. Why did you come to the valley at that time, Med?
Like we were living in Prince George.
Right.
And then my brother moved to Burns Lake. He got married. And then he got a job with this new construction company. They were just starting to build these houses.
Well, was he going to hire you at 14?
No, but I just decided to
follow him.
To follow him to Smithers.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because we're all living in Prince George with my mother.
Yeah.
My two sisters and my younger brother.
Right. This is your family in Prince.
Yes.
And at that time, were you living out at Shelley?
No, we're living
in town.
In town, Prince George.
Right. I see. Okay.
Sounds good. My grandmother lived in Shelley.
Right, I gotcha. Right. So I've seen you around town a lot, Med, over the years, but I got to know you a little bit better when Sarah and I moved to town.
And then you did some work in your house.
Yeah, and we hired you up for the shed and
the
fencing and the siding and whatever. And so during that time, we kind of worked together pretty good, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it was awesome. It's been awesome. And then we got to bring me to Blue Lakes. That was a treat.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask you about that, but let's just hang on that one and just get you back a little bit more on your journey, Med. Now, when you got a name like Poirier, it sounds to me like you're French.
Yeah, my father was from Joliet, Quebec.
Okay.
And my mother lived in Shelley.
Right.
And when she was 20, my dad worked at the sawmill on the other side of the river.
Right.
Because Shelley had the sawmill side and where the natives lived.
Right.
Sides.
Right, right.
And they met each other, and my mother was born in 1929.
Right, right.
So 1949, she was 20. She married my father.
Right, right. And then you were born in Shelley, in Prince George.
Prince George.
Right
and
on.
And a couple of years, when I was 2 years old, my father took me and my two sisters and my younger brother to Prince Albert. And then we stayed in an orphanage there from I was 3 years old till I was 11.
Okay, right
and
on.
And my father worked at the orphanage.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there was about 300 kids there,
yep.
Boys and girls.
You're saying Prince Albert, Saskatchewan.
Prince Albert, Saskatchewan.
Right on.
It was
right.
A Catholic church, a Catholic school.
Okay.
It was
And so you were out there till you were 14 or so?
No, till I was 11.
Oh, yeah.
And then my father passed away in 1971. He used to work at the orphanage.
Okay.
But, I mean, my two sisters, my younger brother was in a foster home.
Right.
Just about a quarter mile from the orphanage.
Right.
So I got to go speak over there to see him all the time. So
good. He kept the family together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when my father passed away, he was working at the orphanage.
Right.
And then, but, I mean, me and my two sisters, I was always wondering where everybody else's parents were.
Yeah.
I was the only one, me and my two sisters, because my father was there. Everybody else, did, their father wasn't there.
Right, right.
So then, Christmas time, we had to go to different families for Christmas and
right.
Easter. I couldn't wait to get back to the orphanage.
Right.
My father was there.
They looked after you pretty good there, in a sense. Amen? Yeah, so then this... one of the things that we like to do on the show, Matt, is we like to have a bit of music mixed in with our stories and whatever. And you've put together a little playlist for me.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to play the first song here that I've got lined up. And this is a band called Cashton.
Yeah, Cashton. They came to Smithers in 1985. My daughter was 2 years old. She sat on my shoulder for the whole concert. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, so let's get a little little music going just to get ourselves warmed up. So I'll see if we can make that happen.
The reason I picked these songs was because I saw them live.
Faudra dire à nos enfants que le monde leur appartient. Faut que croire en les possibles et qu'on n'est pas les plus à plaindre. Pourtant on vient d'ici, on nous traite en étranger. Par contre on est la preuve que les choses peuvent changer. Paroles de cette chanson, on veut changer la face du monde, on veut donner de la fierté, on veut nous sortir de l'ombre. Je suis peut-être trop optimiste, mais je suis vivant, donc j'y crois. La plume ouvre les doigts, j'écris une page de l'histoire. On est fort ensemble, c'est pour ça qu'on se rassemble. On est les frères dans l'esprit, c'est ce qui fait qu'on se ressemble. Si ensemble on vaincra, si ensemble on en dira, que sur les terres du Canada, on est encore là. On est fort et fier, on rassemble les nations. C'est la voix du peuple, le chant de la détermination. C'est le cri de victoire, c'est le cri de liberté, c'est le cœur de c'est la voix des oubliés. Faudra dire à nos enfants que le monde leur appartient. Faut que croire en les possibles et qu'on n'est pas les plus à plaindre. Pourtant on vient d'ici, on nous traite en étranger. Par contre on est la preuve que les choses peuvent changer. Pas les victimes, mais une autre génération, celle qui a le pouvoir de nous offrir un horizon. Rattraper, sans faire plus, rendre hommage aux aînés, les rassurer en leur disant qu'on ne va pas abandonner, ce sera long. Et les épreuves sont tenaces, faudra du cœur, du courage, de la force et de l'audace. En l'honneur de leur mémoire, on marchera sur leur trace, la tête haute comme des bras, parce qu'ici c'est notre place. Sans oublier qu'on est l'espoir de demain, qu'on a le pouvoir de réparer, de bâtir le monde de nos mains. Et quoi qu'il advienne, on reste ensemble, solide, car peu se souviennent qu'on est ce qui reste du génocide. Que le monde leur appartient. On peut croire à l'impossible et qu'on n'est pas les plus à plaindre. Pourtant on vient d'ici, on nous traite en étranger. Par contre on est la preuve que les choses peuvent changer. Alors on chante sur les pas du Makusha, avec l'odeur de la sauge pour purifier nos âmes. Quand on se lève, on prenne position pour nourrir son rêve d'espoir et d'ambition.
Canalo, Jimmy's Canalo.
Well, that was pretty cool, Matt. That's a really nice sounding song. And Cashin, you said you saw them at the arena here in Smithers.
Yes, 1980.
Yeah,
my daughter was on my shoulder.
I had a little, just checked a little bit of their bio, and they put their band together in 1984. There's two guys, and they were two French-Canadian singers, Claude McKenzie and Florent Valiant.
Yeah.
And they've got a little bit of native mix in there, but they've got their French-Canadian in there. It's pretty nice sound. Pretty nice sound. So, Med, carrying on now, it seems that you were pretty lucky to have an older brother who had some kind of a plan that he was going to get himself a job, and then you could catch up with him and maybe could get in the business with him. Wanted to say just to carry on with the fact that he got the contract with Goomans.
Yes.
And then is that the time when he contacted you and said you want to come and help me?
Yeah, because he got married in Burns Lake.
Okay.
And then he was living there with his father-in-law, my brother Gus Poirier.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a company called Gus Poirier Construction Limited.
Right.
We both started kind of like the same time, 1976 we moved here. And we're building 50 houses.
50 houses, like for Goomans, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Hazleton, Smithers, Houston.
Yeah.
Burns Lake.
Yeah. So you got quite a bit of construction experience at that time.
Off the bat.
Yeah.
Like I started my first job when I was in grade 10 when I came here.
Right. Did you finish high school here, Matt?
Yes. I went to grade 10 in Smithers.
Right.
And I moved back to Prince George for grade 11. And then I came back and graduated in Smithers in grade 12.
Okay.
1979-80.
Right on. Now that sounds pretty good. And so in that process, you were also, like, Equity had moved into Houston.
Yes.
And you were...
that was 1980,
81. Right, and they were putting up some apartment blocks and housing there.
Apartments and, like, 200 houses.
Yeah, sounded like
it. And then we got in there. The Anderson Construction was started.
Right.
And then my brother and another fellow called Adam Gagnon from Wichita.
Right, I know Adam.
They started up a company.
Right.
And then they contracted the houses out instead of paying by the hour. So my brother had they figured a contract place. So then, man, we had like 50 houses in 2 years to build. It was crazy. I was like 15 years old, 16 years old.
Yeah. And so you were working like 10, 12-hour days
My weekends when I wasn't in school.
Yeah.
My brother would pick me up because And we moved here in 76. We were renting.
Right.
We were looking after an apartment. And then, so he decided he was going to build his first house because I think he bought a piece of property for $2,500 for a lot.
Right.
So he built the house. And then, so he'd pick me up after school on weekends.
Go down and work on the place. Yeah, that sounded pretty amazing, Matt. So, Matt, along the way on this construction world that you were in, the company got together and you guys decided that you were going to buy a lottery ticket. I'm kind of interested in that story.
Well, this was
how did that come out?
1993, the lottery jackpot was, I think it was a Wednesday, it was $10 million.
Right.
So there was four of us. My brother was building a battered women house beside the Cal Tiger there.
Right.
By the trailer park.
Right.
And we just started. We had the floor joist on, plywood, and Gary Stacy, Lauren George, Gus, and myself. They said, hey, it's lotteries, it's $10 million, everybody put in $5. So then we put in $5, and then no winner. So then Saturday went up to $15 million.
Right.
So everybody says, let's put another $5 in. One other guy was working for Adam Gagnon.
Right.
His name was Rodney Tate. Adam had fired him on Thursday. My brother hired him on Friday.
Right.
And Saturday we win the lottery.
Right.
His joke was hired, fired, and retired in 1 week.
In 1 week, yeah, That sounds pretty good. Okay, Matt, well, look, we're plowing into that story a little bit more, but why don't we put another song on and keep ourselves going with a little bit of music?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, so I've got, this is our second song that we're thinking about with a guy called George Leach. And you were telling me that he's actually from Merritt, B.C.
Yes, and I saw him at Rich's head at the Rich's at the band office gymnasium for $20.
Well, right on. Okay, well, let's see how he sounds. We'll play that off now.
Sounds awesome.
So, Matt, that was George Leach, and the song was called Young Enough.
He's an Aboriginal from Merritt, B.C.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I got it. His album was called Just Where I'm At.
Yeah.
And I thought when you said he was from Merritt that you might have caught up with him at the Merritt Mountain Music Festival.
No.
Did you go down to that?
I've been to the music festival, but he wasn't there.
Right.
I just happened to see him in Morristown. I don't know why he was in Morristown, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
So I got to go see him.
No, he sounds like a really decent guitar player. And the picture I got of him, he looks like he's holding a steel guitar there and doing well. So, Med, I was just going to go back a little bit more to the lottery win.
I got a funny story about the lottery win.
Yeah, and I'm just kind of curious that at that time, like, that's a pretty serious amount of money, that you may have had more friends than you used to have. Did it seem like people were coming in wanting you to help them out?
Oh, yeah, but I probably did help a lot of people.
Yeah, you probably did help a lot.
The funny story about the lottery was when it was $15 million, I had $5. Gary Stacey, he says, okay, everybody put in their $5. There were six of us. The first time was 10 million, 24 of us. So two, and then 15 million was six of us. So I had $5 in my pocket. But I'm like, I'm going to buy a pack of cigars. So can I just pay you tomorrow? And Gary Stacey stood up and said, no, Medrick. I'll put in your $5, but if we win, you have to pay me $10,000 back. So I'm like, yeah, no big deal, whatever.
Yeah. So nobody think we'd win?
So, I mean, I already bought my house 5 years before the lottery. 25 years old, I bought my first house. I was shingling my house at the time.
Right.
On Saturday, and then on Sunday, all I was listening to the radio, I heard somebody in Smithers won $50 million.
Right.
But I didn't think that it was us.
Yeah, exactly.
So then my daughter, she was, I think she was like 5 years old. I was shingling the roof. She comes up and says, Gary Stacey wants to talk to you on the telephone. So I said, what does he want? So she comes back, 5 years old. She says, Gary Stacey said you owe him $10,000. I'm like, I just started shaking. I'm
yeah,
like, really?
Yeah. I can't believe it.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
And the funny thing is, he just had the numbers on a piece of 2x6. He didn't have the printout from the actual lottery numbers.
Right, right.
So when he phoned me, he says, Medrick, bring as much beer as you can out to my place and pick up a thing of the lottery numbers. So I came out there and, lo and behold, I went to the Smithers Hotel. And one of the other guys, the lottery winners, his wife was working behind the bar. And I said, Donna, I think you better phone Lauren, George, and tell him I think we won the lottery.
Oh, man, crazy time.
And then I showed up with a piece of paper, and he showed me the ticket. I read the numbers. I can't remember them no more, but I just started jumping around.
Yeah, what an exciting time that was, Matt. Completely crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so crazy. We were in town, so we knew what was going on. Yeah. To a certain extent, but I remember hearing that Gary Stacey left town. He was getting so much hassle.
Yeah, so he moved to Australia for one whole year.
Right.
He just up and back.
Yeah.
Away.
Yeah.
I should have did the same thing, but yeah. I stayed here, but whatever.
Because everybody was sort of wanting you to help them out in one way or another, hey? Matt, so listen, we've kind of come into around the midway point of the show.
Yeah.
And so what we try to do at that spot is to, we try to re-inform the listeners of who we are. And like we're broadcasting on Smithers Community Radio, CICK, coming to you from 93.9 on your FM dial. And my name is Thomas Tom Roper. And our program is called On the Ropes with our special guest tonight, Medrick Poirier, Smithereen carpenter. And we also...
49 years I've been in Smithers.
Yeah. We also take this this time to thank our sponsors. And so I've got a list of sponsors that I like to just read off and appreciate their help. We're a volunteer-run organization, and any donations really... help us get by.
Programs can't help without these people.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Yeah, exactly. So we've got Accounting on Broadway is one of our sponsors. We've got Ranch House Tattoo, BV Farmers Market, the BV Concert Association, along with Phoenix Self-Care Studio, Bugwood Bean, Classic Sanitary.
Good coffee, Bugwood Bean.
Yeah. And... the Community Radio Fund. So I just want to put that in there, and then we'll pick up from where we were at, just talking a little bit about the lottery a little more, Matt, because it was a pretty pretty main moment in your life, which you had brought you some fame and fortune.
And the funny thing is the lottery started in 1982, and this was in 1993 when we won. They had never had a ticket... a single ticket for $15 million over the 10.5 years. We were the first ones.
Yeah.
So it was a big deal.
It was a very big deal.
Now
exactly.
It's like $80 million, $50
million. Yeah. Yeah, it's a whole different program than what it is now. So along the way, Matt, you know, with that amount of money, you had a chance to help out your family and friends a little bit? Like you were telling me that you helped your sister with her house in Prince George.
Yeah, two of my sisters and my other sister in Vancouver. I gave her like a down payment to buy a house.
Right.
It was awesome.
So that was the money went into some good spots too.
It was kind of funny because my sisters, after we bought their houses, we said, let's go shopping. And we're not buying anything. Maytag, the Lazy Boy, whatever, right? I never had that stuff.
No.
I had nice cars. I bought my first house. I was 25 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
$80,000. But now there's $1 million houses now.
Yeah, exactly. So you were saying that when you did win the lottery, you picked up a car.
Yeah.
In Smithers.
Yes.
And that was a Frontier Chrysler there?
Yeah, I never even got my money yet. But everybody in the world knew we won the lottery.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I just walked in there and said, hey, do you guys have a car with a CD player?
Right.
It was a Daytona. I can't remember the name of it. It was like $25,000. It was a blue car with a CD player. Take it, just worry, pay me back.
Yeah.
And you guys get back from Vancouver.
Pretty interesting story, yeah, for sure, man. And so you guys did a little bit of traveling around. You went down to Vegas.
Yeah, we went to Vegas.
Did you see Elvis when you were down there?
No.
I seen
Merle Haggard.
Well, yeah.
At the rodeo, World Championship Rodeos.
Right.
In Vegas.
That was
me and my brother went down. We got to see Merle Haggard.
Yeah.
Front row seats.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's it. And you got to see the Canucks a few times when you were down that in Vancouver area?
The Canucks in 93, when we won the lottery, made it to the Game 7 of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Wow.
In New York.
Islanders.
I was in Game 7.
Yeah.
I was the only one that won the lottery that wasn't at the game. The other five winners were all at the game.
Right.
I was the only one. But we went to every game in Vancouver. Before that, I brought my kids, my wife and my two kids.
Yeah. Just talking about your kids, you got three kids, Med?
Yes. My son just turned 43 years old yesterday.
Right.
His name is Medrick.
Also?
Yes.
And you
when he was born... He was a month and a half premature. They call it breech.
Right.
So he wasn't facing the right way.
Yeah.
So my wife, we're in the waiting, the delivery room. She says, is this a boy, is this a girl? I said, I don't know, I just see his bum.
Yeah.
And then I said, if it's a boy, he's going to be Medrick Jr.
Yeah.
And sure enough,
it was.
That's his name.
Yeah, right. And you've got two daughters also.
I've got one daughter. Her name is Brittany.
Right.
She lives in Whitsett. And my youngest son, his name is Brandon. He lives in Whitsett. I have eight grandchildren.
Oh, okay.
My oldest grandson is in grade 12 in Smithers.
Right.
He graduates this year.
Oh, that's,
hell yeah.
That's your grandson.
My grandson graduates this year.
What's his name?
Stefan.
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 Stefan Poirier?
No, his last name is he's named after his mother.
Oh, yeah. His mother's side, eh?
Yeah.
Right on. Okay, Med, well, that's sounding really good. Let's mix in another song.
Sure.
We can keep our music beat going.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of feel...
let's get this party started.
Yeah, keep it rolling. So we got this other one we were talking about was a really famous guy, Derek Miller.
Yes.
And now...
He's an original French-Canadian, I think, too.
He's actually from... I did a little check on him, and he's actually coming out of... the Mohawk tribe in Ontario.
And I got to see him in the Kassan days about 5 years ago. It was a free concert in the park. It was like $5 to get in.
Wow.
Derek Miller's playing.
Yeah.
And there were like 100 people.
He's a headliner.
And then I got to see him at the Pan Am Games in Prince George. He was a headliner.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Okay, well, let's see how he sounds on our little play down.
Devil Came Down Sunday, it's called. Me around.
Okay, Matt, that was Derek Miller, and this guy was actually born on the Six Nations on the Grand River Mohawk Territory in 1974. Derek became interested in music in his teens, and he developed a very eclectic taste and a knack for blues-inflected roots rock. By the late 90s, he toured with the iconic Buffy St. Marie, and has won several Canadian Aboriginal Music Awards. So that was a...
And he's still playing today, yeah. Somewhere.
Yeah. So you've got quite an interest in guitar, man.
Yeah, I don't know how to play guitar because I got in a car accident in 1980.
Right.
And I had my last rites read to me.
At the accident?
At the accident, so I didn't think I was going to make it.
Right.
But that was...
Somehow you
40,
were...
45 years ago now.
Yeah, you were able to pull through and keep her going.
Only because I was young, I guess, 18 years old. It wasn't my time.
Exactly. So did you, you retained a few injuries from that med? Like
I had a brachial plexus palsy injury, so I can't lift my left arm up.
Right.
But you figure a way to do it in reconstruction, you have to
lift
your arm. I was building this house, and when I got in my car accident, I just finished the roof that day, and this is another job. When we were building those equity sovereign mine houses.
Right, right.
My brother was, he was a kind of the layout man, and I was just nailing all the walls together. So I said, well, I don't really want to be the nail boy for the rest of my life. I want to be the layout man.
Right.
So he says, okay, well, if you think you can do it, here's the plans. Take them home. And then I came back the next day. I was like, okay, I need 20 headers and U's and L's. So I didn't have my pouch, and we're just at a tape measure and a pencil.
Right.
So then this other guy seen me, says, hey, you got the layout for him, you're the foreman now or whatever. She says, how would you like to build my, come work for me? I'm like, he's a drywaller. He said, but I want you to build my house. I'm like, really? Who's the boss? He says, you're the boss.
Right.
My brother was giving me $8.50 an hour. So then he says, his name is Jim Smale. He says, I said, well, how much are you going to pay me? He says, how about if I start you at $12.50 an hour?
Right.
That's a $4 an hour raise.
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. I'm not giving my brother 2 weeks' notice. I got a $4 an hour raise. So then my brother, I came back. When he came back after lunch, I said, Gus, this is going to be my last day. I'm going to go work for Jim. I'm the boss.
Right,
so
right.
That's how I started.
So and that got you going in your...
That house right now, I was 17 and a half years old when I started building that house.
So
it's
worth
$1 million today.
Yeah.
But I just finished the roof. I was going home. I'd been working 12 hours, 13 hours a day. I was just tired of getting in a car accident. Fell asleep at the wheel. But he was nice enough to say, Medrick, don't worry. I'm putting the house on hold. When you get to the hospital, finish it. And that's what happened.
That's what happened.
He said 6 months I was going to be in the hospital.
Yeah.
6 weeks, I was back on the job.
Wow. So you're a good healer.
Well, I collapsed my lung. I broke all my ribs, my ankle, my femur, my jaw. Like I said, I had my last rites read to me.
Yeah, it's pretty scary time.
Yeah, so.
So you've had some good experiences in your life, man. you know, with the,
it's not my time.
Yeah, the time wasn't quite there, and then bringing on with the lottery, and now you've kind of done a lot of carpentry areas that you know how to build. And you know the construction.
The drywall trade that the guy thought. I'm still drywalling right now, but my last house I did sold for $1.3 million. So then
you've been drywalling.
Yeah, so these are the pieces.
And then you've done a lot of shingling, you've done a lot of framing. Yeah, yeah. And you were saying that you were part of the Sunshine Inn construction.
Yes, it's funny because when they were there's a big pile of dirt there. I was like, what was the dirt for? But then they called it preloading. Mm. They had whatever the building weighed, they had a big pile of dirt there. So then it's like, the dirt was almost down to the last maybe 10 loads to haul away.
Right.
I went by there and I said, hey, you guys look like you need somebody to build this hotel for you.
Right.
Whatever kind of hotel you're building. The guy laughed at me, said, Kim Tran said, do you have a resume? I'm like, I don't know what a resume is.
Right.
Because back in the old days, we just went up to the turned up, and they put you to work right on the spot.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, no, I can go get one. Took me like all day.
To put one together.
They asked me what I did for the last 35 years.
Yeah.
So then I finally came back with the resume, handed to somebody, didn't even pull it out of the envelope, and said, you're hired.
Right.
I said, what made you change your mind? Al Booth was hauling gravel from the Sunshine Inn. He mentioned to him when I was going to get my resume, he said, if that guy's looking for a job,
hire him
because he'll build this hotel for you. I was there for 18 months.
Right. That sounds like a pretty decent job. Yeah, and Al was a good guy in construction
world. The funny thing about the white hard hat, everybody at the boss, I was the boss.
Yeah.
I said, I don't want to wear a white hard hat. Everybody else can wear a white hard hat. I wore a pink one.
Yeah.
So that was the foreman.
Right.
Something different, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Matt, well, let's. It looks like we can got room for another song here. Let's try your fourth selection.
A local resident. Everybody, I think, knows Mark Perry.
Yeah, and you know, in our program, we look for one Canadian song out of the four, and you've got all four are Canadian artists.
And I've seen all four of them.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny, yeah.
So let's see what song we got here for Mark. We'll give her a go.
I used to be a rocker.
One of his old
to be a rocker. It's called I still have the cassette tape at home.
Yeah.
I get a bad habit of asking for.
I got you in an unguarded moment against the wall poles like James Dean. You were looking so out of place there, like some old time record machine. Your black leather jacket's getting ragged and your hair is turning gray. You should have tried to exit like a hero. Jumped on your vulnerability and just rode away. No more ragtop, day tactic. Then you got no money, now you drive an old red. New wave rockers taking it away. You're watching it happen and you got so sick. Well, I heard that you used to be a rocker. And I heard you used to own this town. Well, I heard that you used to be a rocker. And now you're gonna try and live it down. Now you're driving.
Well, that was the iconic Mark Perry. Everybody around town is well aware that he's a pretty famous character. And that song, we seem to get him to play that quite a bit when he does an encore when we're out watching, you know. It's a lot of fun to go out and listen to. That was off of his album Recollections. And
I think he's got three albums total, or maybe four.
He's got 13 albums.
Oh, 13 albums.
Yeah, it may even be more than that, Med. But
one of the guys that records for him, his name is Roy Forbes.
Right.
He's got a recording studio in Vancouver.
Right.
Roy Forbes' name used to be called Bim, because he used to be on the old K-Tel records back in the 70s.
Right, yeah.
And he came to Smithers, Roy Forbes or Bim.
You've visited a lot of musicians in Smithers. You've seen them all. I wanted to ask you, any other hobbies that you kind of get yourself involved in? Now, like when you and I were working together, you'd mentioned that you'd never been up to Crater Lake. And so we decided we were going to walk ourselves up there and check it out. And it turned out to be a pretty good hike.
Well, it was beautiful, yeah. And then we turned out, I seen the picture of Blue Lakes and Louise's kitchen. And I kept bugging Tom. He says, let's go. I know where it is. What a hike that was.
Yeah, and that one
was beautiful.
That was kind of a cool setup, but they had been working on the road, so we couldn't go to the parking lot.
Yeah.
We had to
walk an extra about a mile or somewhere.
It turned out to be an extra 4K we ended up doing, and by the time we got out of there, we were pretty well tired.
7 hours or something. I've never been so tired in my life.
But we did get a beautiful picture
of
that country. It was pretty nice. And this area around here is quite an amazing country for scenery. And
when we won the lottery, everybody went and bought snowmobiles, ran up to the Onion, the microwave.
So you've seen a little bit of the area, Matt, which is pretty nice. Now, was there other things that you like to do, or you're pretty happy with you got your family, and you got your job, and you got we get a little bit of hiking in here and there?
I'm working on my daughter's living room and kitchen right now. It's been a little battle because she's hoarder. She doesn't throw anything away.
Right.
So I can only put on like one or two boxes of flooring a day, move everything back. So I'm down to the last three boxes, and the kitchen's all done.
Now, perfect. That sounds real good, Matt, real good. So what I was thinking about was snowshoeing. Have you tried that, Ned?
No, but I would love to. And then Tom, of course, says he does it every day, so we're going to do this here probably next week.
Yeah, when but you get a when you get another, an opening shot.
I've got about another week at my daughter's, and it's pretty much closed up, and I have a little bit more free time.
Right.
I would love to. I've never snowshoed, but I've got two pairs of snowshoes I bought.
Yeah.
I've never put them on.
Right.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. So, Med, just going back now, you've had quite a few injuries, and this latest one this year where you ended up losing your finger. What happened to that? Did you hit the finger or damage it somehow?
How it happened was I had a small little cut in my bottom of my middle finger.
Right.
I was in the hot tub, and a retired doctor friend of mine, Dr. Kalinitsky, you might know him, but he says, Medrick, because I don't have no feeling in this left hand from my car accident.
Right.
It's called
right.
the brachial plexus palsy. I don't have no feeling, my nerve damage.
Right.
So I didn't notice, but he said my finger was actually growing. Yeah. So I went up to the hospital, and then they put an IV in my arm. The next day I went back 24 hours later, and my finger doubled, almost the size of a Coke can.
Wow.
My middle finger.
Yeah.
So then they said, can you get to Prince George Lee ASAP? So I went there. It was 36 hours after I first went to the hospital, and they cut my finger wide open.
Drained it.
Plastic surgeon. It was 2 months for it to heal back together. It was almost healed, and I slipped off of a ladder, and I fell, and I injured my finger.
Ah.
So then they said, if you don't get that cut off, you can end up losing your whole hand.
Right. Which wouldn't be good.
No, but I mean, after my finger cut, the kind of the good thing is I don't have no nerve damage no more.
Right, right.
Which is kind of funny, but
yeah, that's very strange. Very strange.
For 42 years, I had nerve damage.
Yeah,
I couldn't touch anything on my finger; it would bother me, bug me. But now it doesn't do it, which is a good thing.
Yeah, that's kind of a good thing. Well, Med, we've got room for one more song, and I pulled another Derek Miller song out. I kind of like that guy.
Yeah,
he's got
awesome,
a pretty good
yeah.
beat there. So yeah. Let's slide in this one. It's called Heaven.
Yeah, I got to see him at the Pan Am Games and in Kisbjörk's Kazandis.
Gonna be a star. Shining a light, gonna be a star. Shining a light. Whoa, every world's a different dream. Never knew I'd feel a scream on every wall. Whoa, heaven's such a pretty place. Never know. When I came screaming into this world, into this world. Thank you.
That was a pretty smooth rendition of Derek's Heaven.
Yes.
And I just wanted to say that, you know, listening to you and running into you around town a little bit, you seem like you're pretty happy in Smithers. You've got fairly good accommodation. You got your daughter living in town, your son in Whitsett. You seem to always be able to find work. And even after losing your finger, you still shoot a fairly decent game of pool over at the
Legion. Yeah, I've been playing pool a long time.
Yeah. So it seems that life is going pretty good for you. Would you agree with that, Matt?
Yeah.
Overall?
Overall, yes.
Yeah.
Because I live my life for today.
Yeah.
That's my motto for the last, I don't know, 50 years. My dad, when he was at the orphanage, I was like 4 years old, he used to say, don't sleep your life away and treat people like you want to be treated yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And don't sleep your life away. Like, Dad, I'm 4 years old. I'm supposed to sleep.
Yeah.
8 hours, 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
But now that I'm 60 years old, if I've slept 8 hours a day, I've slept for over 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I ain't sleeping anymore.
No. Exactly. But you're kind of, you have that sort of attitude that you're living for today.
That's the only way to live. And I don't worry about what happened yesterday. And I don't...
You don't worry about yesterday,
I don't dwell on the past,
yeah.
And I don't plan on the future.
Yeah.
I mean,
let the
future guide itself.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you live for today, and then to me, another thing, life to me is a puzzle.
Mm.
And every day you try to put another piece in the puzzle, it never gets finished until you pass away.
Right, right.
So, I mean, the puzzle can be pretty big if you live 200 years old.
Yeah.
And that's what my goal.
Yeah, yeah, we all have that goal, for sure.
My younger brother passed away at 27.
Oh, man.
That's sad.
That's very sad.
Me and him, for 2 weeks, were the same age.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
For like when we were kids, like we were 14 years old, his birthday was on the 14th of January, so he'd be the same age as me. And then on the 28th of January, I would be a year older.
Yeah, exactly.
But for those 2 weeks, yeah. We had lots of fun.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Matt, well, it looks like we're coming to the end of the program. We're going to close ourselves out. It's been a lot of fun getting to know a little bit more about you and your life and your living time in Smithers. I want to thank you very much for sharing your story.
Oh, I love it. And then, yeah. Like I say, every time in the last probably a year, every place I go, I walk into the Super Value Safeway, I raise my hands up and I say, can I get a hell yeah? And I'm starting to get more hell yeah than when I first started.
Yeah.
But it's awesome.
That's
my, if you hear me, if you're in a store one day and I say, can I get a hell yeah? All you have to say is, hell yeah.
Sounds good, Matt. Sounds real good. And I really appreciate you coming out for the show. And I want to wish you the best for your family and yourself in the future.
I wish the best for everybody that's listening, and the listening, whatever.
The listening area, yeah. Okay.
Live for today and have a good time.
Right on, Matt. Okay, so we're going to run a conclusion here now with, this is your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and you're listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio 93.9 on your FM dial. Thank you to my listeners, and hope you can join us in the next 2 weeks show, Monday, February the 24th at 6 p.m., when we'll be hosting Henry Kempinar, Centurion of the Bulkley Valley. There's a guy that's made 100 years old.
Oh, I thought he passed away.
No, he's still kicking along.
He turned 100 on October 31st.
That's right.
Halloween. I know Henry.
Yeah, exactly.
When he was 95 years old, I got my son to shake his hand, and he squeezed my son's hand and hurt my son's hand.
Yeah.
He was 95 years old.
Still got lots of power in him, that's for sure. So remember, if you can't join us live, we're archived on your computer, smithersradio.com. Schedule up the top left and click, scroll down to On the Ropes Monday at 6. So we'll see you on the flip side. Let's see if we can get our outro going. Right there.
No way. Wow.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on the flip side.